Hi, everyone, and welcome to The Drill Down with Marty Stetzer. This podcast is part of our EKTI Oil and Gas Learning Network and brought to you jointly today with Energy Conference Network here in Houston. ECN is a leading source of business information for energy professionals. By running major conferences and specialized workshops, ECN helps you solve industry problems while you meet with decision makers. Today, our topic is the Internet of Things in oil and gas. With an estimated global value of $31 billion by 2020, the digital oil field is the oil and gas industry's hotbed of innovation, now including big data, analytics, and robotics. I'll be speaking with Jim Klonch, VP of Operational Excellence at Statoil, also based in Houston. Jim, welcome.
Thank you, Marty. I appreciate the invitation.
Jim, thanks so much for being part of this effort. Can we start by letting you tell the listeners your background and, more importantly, expand on how you got interested in this field?
Well, my background, I've been 30 years in the oil and gas industry. I spent 20 years with Halliburton. My last position was running Global Shared Services, where I had responsibility for things including IT and quality improvement, total quality management, HSE, and the usual suspects of shared services organizations. I also spent some time as a CFO and CIO of an oil field service company called Powerwell Services. Spent a little bit of time in investment banking before I joined Statoil on the operator side about 8 years ago. Recently, in 2014, one of the tasks that I had was to look at our operating model in the U.S. onshore business and figure out how you structured a successful onshore business within an IOC. So I got a lot of experience in learning how to make an onshore business work effectively in an IOC. And through that, I also got exposed a lot to our field operations and how our field operations work, which, you know, as recently as a year or two ago, we were extremely manual. And, you know, my role in operational excellence includes data management and it includes IT. And then we support a lot of the projects that go on in our onshore business. So I think I have the best job in Statoil because my entire focus these days is around digitalization, which obviously includes IoT. And I find it fascinating, while at the same time, I think within oil and gas, we're using technology that's been used in other industries. And a lot of the speeches that I give, I'm consistent about saying, I think we're going boldly where others have already gone.
That's a good way to put it. Jim, it's interesting. You came from oil field services and went to an operator. I went from an operator to oil field services. What were some of your kind of observations, let's say around production, the production field side, of the difference between the two companies and maybe the way they approach things?
Well, I think, you know, if you look at the operator side, especially, there's always going to be reservoir risk. In the service industry, we didn't have reservoir risk. It was more about the services we could provide, you know, to help the operator. And as I've been now more on the operator side, especially in the onshore world, there's a lot of things that feel like a service business at the same time of being an oil and gas operator, because it is manufacturing as such.
Interesting. Very interesting. Well, let's get back to Statoil. Based on your experience, how are you getting Statoil and the management team on board with some of these new concepts, especially when you said You're coming from a very manual environment. Did you have to do kind of some intermediate step here, or are you just taking a full-bore step towards IoT, big data analytics? Help me understand.
Well, I think that's a great question, Marty. And it sounds like a really simple question, and it's not. You know, I think we spent a year and a half, everybody talks about big data. We spent about a year on little data. And that was focused on getting data quality and getting data stewards and data ownership because, and this was even before we got involved in the Internet of Things, you know, people always said, well, the data is no good. So we spent a year getting it to where no longer did people question the data. They started using the data and we started getting immediate uplift in our business just by better data, better visibility of data. So I think, you know, one of the advantages of the oil and gas industry being a little bit late to the dance on IoT is this: the world we're working in today in the digital era, if you will, I've heard people call it industrial 4.0, is that you can go from, like, you know, being a very basic level or manual to latest and greatest and not have to go through steps 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 to get to the highest level. And so you don't have to go through all the pain as technology improved. You can just kind of go to the front of the class, if you will. So I think technology itself isn't the issue that we struggle with. You know, when you talk about getting management involved, and then that's management at all different levels, right? But if you're talking about operations management, many people view IoT and then dashboards and open information and as a threat. Because across the industry, you know, oil and gas companies are structured in silos, and then they have silos inside of silos. And getting the data out of those silos and available in the cloud for analytics and presentation, all of a sudden changes the role of the engineers, where in many cases, they spent 75 to 90% of their time finding data and getting it in a presentable form. And that was how they spent their time. Well, now we've turned the tables to where we want engineers to spend very little of their time looking for data and way more time analyzing data. And as we move into the future, it's going to be more about exception management. So if you think about engaging operations management, we have some people, and this is true across the industry from the different companies I've talked to, who are totally on board with that. And give me more, and I want to automate more, and I want to do more and more with digitalization. And then you have others that this is very frightening. And so as much as we talk about digitalization, we can't forget about touching and talking to employees and helping them understand that, hey, look, we want you to be an engineer. And I know that sounds really silly. Every time I say it, it sounds silly. But telling engineers, look, here's your value proposition. Your value proposition isn't in knowing where the data is and getting it in a usable form. Your real value is in helping us analyze the data to give us better outcomes. So you have people all along the scale from, I want more automation to, I'm not sure about this, but I'm willing to learn. And then of course, I think every company and across the industry, we're going to find those that are just not going to be able to get on board. And I think that happens on any major transformation. And what we're going through in oil and gas is a major transformation, and it needs to be handled as such. And the most basic of change management and communicating and listening to people is super, super critical as we go forward.
What I'm hearing, Jim, is a couple things. First, the field operations people that I dealt with at Superior were probably the last, you know, the drilling folks were on board, the reservoir folks were on board, and of course, the explorationists were all on board with the uses of technology, but the field production folks were pretty tough to get on board. So what have you done to break down this barrier between kind of IT and OT besides the change management piece? Tell me a couple more things if you don't mind and tell the audience.
Well, I think that's a two-part question, and I'm going to address it as such. We're in the process of implementing dashboards. Other companies have the dashboards, but one of the great things that I think our O&M leader drove and the project manager drove was the dashboards changed the work processes out in the field, because we're no longer going to be going to every well every day. And getting the field people involved in, okay, here's how the new work processes need to work with this new data availability. And then moving from the field people to kind of our region offices and doing the same thing with their work processes, and then doing the same thing in our central office. And having those people help define how work should get done in this new world. And I thought that was a great idea of helping everybody get their fingerprints on this and what it meant and how it changed things. Because I think, to me, that was like a best practice, because I saw the engagement of our field hands. I saw the engagement of our region office. I saw the engagement in our central office. And when I say central office, I'm talking about the operations and maintenance people centrally. So, that to me was fantastic in getting more onboarding in a different way of working. And now the other piece of this that you mentioned that is also a mouthful, you make these things sound really simple, Marty. this idea of IT-OT convergence, I mean, like I said, you make it sound simple, but you know, traditionally, OT has existed only in the operation. And they took care of all security, and they took care of all communication, and they took care of all the devices. And, you know, I think as all this data begins coming together, and, you know, we're truly seeing the convergence of that data now in the oil and gas world. They've seen it many years ago, for example, in the airline industry. But as you begin seeing that within oil and gas, all of a sudden you have two distinct worlds that roles and responsibilities change, and all of a sudden the big OT that used to reside within O&M, part of that's got to shift over to IT because the line has become totally blurred. When it comes to security and access and communication. And so, you know, going through that, we're actually just right now going through that process. And we've been able to learn not only from our head office in Norway, how they do it in the offshore world, but there's been multiple companies, onshore companies in the U.S. that have been willing to share with us how they do it. And so we're not reinventing the wheel. I think, again, from a Statoil perspective, we're getting to borrow from some of the other best practices that we see. Again, though, there's a lot of change management associated with that, because traditionally operations has owned it. And That's just not going to be the case going into the future of IT/OT convergence. And within Statoil, I think we're in a great position because our operation and maintenance manager is absolutely a forward thinker, and he sees it, he believes it, he knows it, he supports whatever we need to do in the IT/OT space in the best interest of Statoil. And if that wasn't the case, we'd be having a heck of a fight.
Jim, that's a really good observation. Is the O&M responsibility, from what you've seen, the right call reporting position for a project of this scale?
Well, that's another really good question. What I would say is yes and no. Because at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is enable the business. And when it comes to production and operation and maintenance, that's his business. And so, yes, it involves part of my group from operational excellence, including IT and data management, includes people from his group. It includes even people from our digital office in Norway. So this is a very collected effort towards the operation and maintenance business. But at the end of the day, my perspective is always going to be that the line needs to own it. You can't, if people outside the line try to impose things on people responsible for making money, I've never seen that be successful in my career.
You mentioned earlier in your conversation that you've been able to learn from other folks. Joe and I have been involved with IoT now probably for a couple years. We've attended a number of conferences, but we honestly don't see many operators besides Statoil. Do you have any idea what the reason for that is?
Well, maybe we're going to different conferences, but I've benefited greatly from Marathon, for example, in a presentation that they gave, and I've been able to meet with them. They're doing some great things. Devon, same way. Anadarko, same way. ConocoPhillips, same way. BHP, same way. So I have found that $50 oil makes us all want to share. And I find that getting access to people that are doing this automation and digitalization are very willing to share with us, and we're comfortable sharing with them. I frankly do not view that what we're doing with dashboards and automation and that type of stuff on the production side is proprietary. We all participate in so many of our partners' wells that the opportunity to learn is there. Basin to basin, across the industry, that's what makes U.S. onshore, in my opinion, a bit unique versus the offshore world.
Jim, these insights will surely be valuable to the EKTI Energy Conference Network listeners, and will be posted on our website. Really appreciate you taking the time. Anything to add based on the discussion that we've had so far?
I would just add one thing, Marty, if that's okay. I think senior leadership, and I'm talking about, you know, EVPs, that level, it's very difficult to get a 30,000-foot view of digitalization and its potential impact, including the importance of data and how you manage it, et cetera. That's very difficult to do. And, you know, I think spending time bit by bit and really water dropping senior management to make sure you get the senior leadership of the company as familiar as possible with what automation can and will do in this industry as it's done in other industries. Because My take on it is we're not talking about a digital operation culture. We're talking about an organizational culture of digital that is going to not only transform how we work operationally, but it's also going to transform how we set up organizations within the whole company. Because the more you get into data analytics and the more you get into machine learning, you know, the data or the algorithms, they don't know we have a matrix organization. And so I think this is a much bigger deal than just talking about operational automation and digitalization if and when we end up transforming the oil and gas industry.
For our listeners, I'd really like to thank you all for listening. And again, we'll be posting the podcasts on our website and the ECN website. To learn more about how the oil and gas industry works, if you're new to the industry, be sure to check out our free Oil 101 series at www.ektinteractive.com. Again, thanks for listening.